south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, so let's get started.
Well, I'm just catching my breath from the seminar we just had off the tourist trail down in Guatemala, tramping all over the place with about 25 to 35 people. And you know, for the seminars, we've got about 9 or 10 people, including translators and drivers, helping to make everything happen. And since this is the third world, occasionally things do go wrong with the logistics. What I mean is, though we may be first world gringos, the rest of Latin America is permanently on mañana time. That's just the way it is down here. Now, like I said before, on these seminars, I like to take just 24 attendees because one of the particularly nice colonial hotels that we stay in only has about 28 rooms. So we've got 24 rooms for the attendees and the rest for the expat wisdom staff. And actually, this time we had 21 new attendees and about 3 or 4 repeat offenders. You know, people who came down to previous seminars. And by the way, since I've discovered that a certain percentage of people actually do want to be repeat offenders, I've decided that from now on I'm going to make it a policy that if you are one of my Expat Wisdom alumni from a previous seminar, I'm not only going to give you a huge discount if you decide to come down again, I'm also going to offer special side trips with me and my Expat Wisdom staff to places like Lake Atitlan, Roatan, Copan, the ruins of Petén, the Caribbean coast of Central America, and to one or more of those Decameron resort hotels that I thoroughly discussed in one of my two recent past shows. And if you remember what I said about that Decameron deal, I mentioned that it just might be one of the undiscovered retirement secrets of a lifetime. But of course, since everything at the Decameron is in Spanish, only maybe 1 in 100,000 gringos has any idea it even exists at all. So once again, let me repeat, I'm going to be offering very, very special little Latin American side trips in the future, probably 2 or 3 a year. But this will only be for Expat Wisdom Seminar alumni. We'll be going to many of my own personal off-the-tourist trail gems, many of which you can find in my report on the Expat Wisdom site called 17 Undiscovered Paradises. And I think most of you might have that report by now. If not, go to expatwisdom.com and get it. It's free. So if you tag along with me and my gang on any one of these upcoming trips, you'll have that big leg up that none of us expats had when we first came down, that's for sure. Including me. I mean, after all, I was a clueless green gringo expat once too. In fact, it took me a couple of years to realize just how clueless I was. So anyway, I'm recording this show today just one day after the finish of my latest seminar. And how did it go? Well, let's see. Where do I start? Well, first of all, I'm sure you'd like to get it from the horse's mouth. So, in a few weeks, or maybe in a few months, after all, this is the third world, you know, I'll have some interviews and comments from a few of the people that came down. But from my point of view, well, it was a big success. That is, no robberies, no kidnappings, no hanky-panky. Though I could be wrong about that, since I didn't go out partying with that certain percentage of the gang that liked to come home at 3 in the morning. Anyway, regarding the topic of safety and danger issues, during our business, healthcare, and IT tour, the 3 days on the road after the main seminar, that is, we all loaded up in the buses and headed to the highest first world style areas of Guatemala. So we saw how the 3 to 5 percenters lived with their bodyguards and SUVs and first world shopping centers. And we had a very good taste of the lower socioeconomic conditions too. And on the low end, one morning I took our group to one of the craziest, wildest, most chaotic and eye-opening street markets in all of Latin America. In fact, it's so big you could get lost in there forever if you didn't have a GPS. Now, this place is in a permanent location in what you'd call a bad section of Guatemala City. And by the way, if you go on the U.S. State Department website, you'll find that all of Guatemala City and basically all of Guatemala and Latin America in general are terribly bad parts of the world and should be off limits to Americans, according to the U.S. State Department. And what's my take on that? Thank you, State Department, for all that wonderful, wonderful propaganda that keeps all that first world riffraff out of my little piece of paradise. But let me just say right now that that marketplace I took everyone to is not at all on my list of little pieces of paradise in Latin America, that's for sure. But it's a hell of a great place to get a good deal, if you've got the balls to go in there and start haggling. Now, let me just repeat. I took my little group to many nice first-class places in Guatemala, and I also took them to a few places that I, too, was afraid to visit when I first got down here, based on all the rumors I had heard. In fact, that gigantic, chaotic street market that I took the little group to is a perfect example of this. Because, in fact, it took me 2 years to work up the nerve to visit that street market myself. But that was a long time ago. And now, I go there about every 2 weeks and stock up on the cheapest, best, and freshest produce and vegetables in the country. Short of having your own Victory Gardener living on a farm yourself. And believe me, it's not just a vegetable and produce market. That takes up only about 1/6 of the space. The fact is, you can buy just about anything there. From shoes to tools to flowers to meat, appliances, chainsaws, animals, you name it, they've got it. Not to mention knives, machetes, and all sorts of pyrotechnics. And yes, they have everything and anything in the world that's pirated too. And everything but everything there costs about a quarter or less of what you pay for the same thing up in the first world. So, now, you've got to be wondering, what happened when we drove our two buses into the place to drop off 20 or 30 wide-eyed gringos in the midst of all that chaos? Well, first of all, the place is so busy and wall-to-wall with masses of humanity buying and selling that it takes about a half an hour to drive about 3 blocks with everyone hawking their wares and jutting in and out between cars, motorcycles, vans, and chicken buses. So after about a half hour of inching through that traffic, we pulled into a parking lot just loaded with a lot of busted and bashed up cars and vans, all fighting it out for the limited parking spots or trying to wiggle their way out of the place too, without accumulating another dent or two. But parking lot dents are a fact of life down here, and you've got to get used to it if you hang around here for any length of time. And let me tell you, in that parking lot, you have absolutely zero personal and vehicular space. I mean, they wedge vehicles in that place like the world's biggest jigsaw puzzle. And after having a look at how those cars and buses are jammed in there, it's just impossible to believe you could ever get your car out of there in one piece. But the attendants seem to do it. Don't ask me how. Now, this was the only place during the whole seminar and the post-tour, the business and healthcare and IT tour, that I actually told people to dress way down when we go there. We didn't want to stick out like stupid rich gringos, you know? Well, we pretty much accomplished that. And even though, as they say, it was butthole to elbow in there, and it really was, believe me, we kind of loosely hung together, and people in our group did haggle and buy. Yet we didn't have a single incident, except for a moment when a couple of small drunk-looking guys came up to one of our group and asked for a dollar. But nothing really came of that incident. And nope, as far as I know, they didn't get the dollar either. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to tell you, didn't matter that we dressed down. We were still sticking out like sore thumbs because we were a head taller at least than everybody else there. Now, on that road that we blazed through those steaming hordes of humanity, and I mean we had to elbow our way through this crowd. The fact is we saw nothing but smiles coming from the natives. They seemed quite happy to have us there. And even though we were the only gringos in that mass of hundreds and hundreds of people, that is, hundreds and hundreds of very poor, short, brown people just trying to scratch out a living, even though it was a big surprise to see all these gringos passing by, for them it was business as usual, and no one, except for those two drunk guys, hassled us one bit. Well, you might say, Johnny, that's all well and good, because you got strength in numbers. You had 20 or 30 people in there. But let me repeat, I've been to that market dozens and dozens of times, and true, I usually take along Eddie or another person, but I have done it alone and have never once had a problem. And by the way, where do you think all the restaurants and street vendors buy their food? At these big, chaotic central markets, of course. Every big Latin American city has one. And you know what? You never see upscale Latins shopping there. Ever. Because you know what? It's beneath them to be seen shopping at places like that. For them, the big market is for the lower classes. They prefer to pay double at Costco or Walmart, where they can leave their SUV in the parking lot and wear their jewelry while they're shopping. But the dirty little secret is, most of these upscale ladies still send their maids and cleaning ladies to the central market at least once a week, even though the boss lady won't step foot within a mile of the place. Now, another question you might ask is, why don't you see any gringos there? Well, that's because when you're off the tourist trail, like I prefer, you don't see gringos practically anywhere. The exception being when you're in a big international first world style hotel like the Intercontinental or the Princess or the Clarion or the Marriott, because that's where international businesses, charities, and government organizations hold their conferences. For example, our seminar group had 2 days in one of those big international hotels just to settle everyone in and get everyone comfortable in a third world climate. And in the lobby, we noticed all kinds of people walking around in little blue suits. And what was that all about? Well, it was 100 or so people there for an Amway convention. Amway? You mean that still exists? Well, down here in Latin America, pyramid retail schemes like Amway and Avon and Mary Kay and such, they're alive and well. So when the company bigwigs come in from the States, they certainly don't stay in the local hotels, even though they're much cheaper. They prefer the international franchise hotels in big city business districts. Oh, and on the first day when everyone checked in this big hotel, there was another convention going, a 3M convention. So in these big hotels, there are always a few gringos floating around, but they rarely wander outside of a few blocks of their hotel to mix with the real people. After all, they read the State Department website too now, didn't they? And get this, more than a few of the seminar attendees reported to me that when they were on their plane coming in from the States or wherever, the majority of the gringos on the same flight were from U.S. church groups, charity organizations, or private medical missions from up in the States. Yeah, and you can spot those do-gooder brigades coming out the airport doors from a mile away. Always there's a group of pale, tall gringos in their Patagonia, Timberland, and L.L. Bean adventure gear. It never fails. They're always decked out in gear that's worth more than a couple years of the average man's salary down here. But I guess it's the thought that counts, right? Anyway, as I promised, we were definitely off the tourist track. Though, when we did hit Antigua, Guatemala, there were quite a few eco-tourists and people who came down just to learn their Spanish and do immersion programs and such. What I mean is, if you're doing a Spanish immersion program, you're not the typical tourist at all. Not really. And Antigua, Guatemala is an absolutely great place to do that kind of thing. And there are a dozen other cities off the tourist trail in Central America where you can do those immersion programs dirt cheap. So it's best to come down here and negotiate the deal, never do it over the internet, and never pay the price that they're asking. Even though it might seem like a really good deal to you, the only people that aren't into haggling down here are first-time travelers or green gringos. And by the way, skip the Spanish immersion programs in tourist places like Costa Rica and Panama. They're twice the price, and as soon as you walk out the front door of the family that you're staying with, people on the street are going to speak English to you, and that's not what you want. So what about the 20-something people who came down for my latest seminar? Again, a very eclectic group, predictably unpredictable, and each one with his own reasons for wanting to come down to Latin America and scope it out. And each one of them basically looking to leave the first world immediately or in the very near future. And when you get a bunch of people like that together, it makes for very cool and profound conversation. At least most of the time. By that I mean the whole time they were down here, I never heard one single word mentioned about sports or the Kardashians. Oh, I take that back about the Kardashians. I heard one of our seminarians say, did I say seminarian? Anyway, he said he'd pay big money to see the Kardashians OD on ayahuasca. Hey, if it was on YouTube, I'd watch it too. And you know, the people that came down kept saying the same thing. They want to leave the U.S. because of taxes, because of health care, because of Big Pharma, Big Brother, and the IRS, and the military, and the TSA, you know, the usual suspects. Plus, each and every one of our attendees had his own specific gripes about the first world that all made sense to me. And it might be legitimate to ask if these people were preppers or survivalists or dyed-in-the-wool leftists or rightists or libertarians. Well, it didn't seem to matter because they were all basically eyes wide open realists and all worried, as they should be, about what's coming down the line next up in the first world and busy making plans for their own futures when the next crisis hits. In fact, some of them had plans A, B, C, and D already in place. Now, for those of you who might be wondering, Expat Eddie wasn't there, but I spoke to him on the phone yesterday, and his only comment was, Johnny, how do you do it? How do you give seminars to people who are smarter than you are? And I said, Eddie, it's easy. Just show them what you've got from the heart. Don't push or try to sell them anything. Show them exactly what it's like to live down here as an expat gringo. Show them firsthand about 100 examples of the gringo advantage. Take them to a few great restaurants. Throw in a few bad jokes and the rest will take care of itself. That's the secret and it works every time. But there are always one or two people in every seminar that don't quite get it. But I'll save that topic for the next show, so stay tuned. Anyway, you might ask, were there any sticky situations? Did anything bad happen to our little group? Did anybody have a bad trip or go MIA? Well, the seminar is over. Everyone's accounted for. Kind of. And in fact, at least 4 attendees have decided to stay here more or less permanently. In other words, they're here now and don't have any definite plans on returning. And remember, about 5 months ago, that's exactly what happened at our last seminar, too. Some people came down to the seminar. They're still here and they say it's the best move they ever made. In fact, a pair of them came to this seminar, too. Not as expat wannabes or green expats at all, but as full-fledged expats with a real head start. And I did say that about 4 people are staying down here permanently. Not only that, there's another half dozen people who are still down here who've taken off on exploratory journeys of their own, all with quite diverse backstories. Like, for example, a guy who I'll call Chris Kraft, for the sake of anonymity, who has been living for quite some time up on the California coast in his 44-foot boat, paying rent in an expensive U.S. marina. He's looking to do the exact same thing down here in Latin America, live on his boat in a marina. Down here, where the weather's not only much nicer, but he'll probably pay maybe a quarter of what he's paying up in the first world. So he's off on that journey right at this minute, checking marinas and waterways and doing his own feasibility study. So right after the seminar, I pointed him in the right direction and off he went. Now, you see, the thing is, setting off on your own, down here in Latin America, not knowing much Spanish or maybe none, trying to scout out locations like that or even looking for business opportunities, well, that could be a very difficult thing to do on your own if you've never really been down here for any length of time. And that's what the seminars are for, to put you on the fast track, obviously. And, according to the seminar attendees, one of the biggest hurdles they had to get over to come down here in the first place was naturally their own friends and relatives. To a person, not only did their friends or relatives think they were nuts, some were even warned about being caught up in the next revolution or being captured by Amazonian cannibals, which just goes to show how brilliant those Americans back in Cleveland are, since the Amazon's in the southern hemisphere, on another continent completely. I say 3 cheers for the U.S. public school system. Well, here's something that may or may not surprise you. Nearly everyone who took the seminar came up to me at some time or another and said, Johnny, I have this great idea. You know what they need down here, or over there, or in this area, or in that place? I must have heard 3 or 4 dozen very good business ideas every couple of hours or so. In fact, these are ideas coming from a group, most of who'd never been down here before. Which reminds me now of so many emails that I get saying, Johnny, if or when I come down to Latin America, what business do you suggest I get into? What's a good opportunity for me? Well, you know what? I don't even answer those emails because obviously they haven't been listening too closely to my shows. First of all, I don't suggest you come up with some grand business idea up in the States and make a lot of plans to transfer it south of the border if you've never been down here before. And I don't suggest you go to places like Costa Rica or Panama on the tourist trail and brainstorm your business ideas there either, because you're just going to end up reinventing the wheel and having a lot of competition. You might as well stay back up in the States. The whole key to success in business down here for gringos is the fact, first of all, that you've got that gringo advantage, and not to mention you've got a high level of education compared to the locals. And you've seen how successful businesses have worked up in the States just by walking into them and buying their products and services and seeing how cutthroat the competition is. So you're coming down here with a great eye for detail. And because of that lag time effect, meaning that it always takes some time, sometimes years, even a decade. For example, in the case of cordless drills and tools and the Toyota Prius. For those products, it did take about a decade to reach here after they first appeared in the U.S., the fact is, sometimes us expats seem clairvoyant with our business ideas. For example, a year or so ago, I was in Copan, Honduras, when I heard a gringo say, "I've been looking around this town all day and I can't find a donut. A good old American donut." Duh. Well, there's an opportunity now, right? And you know, there is another class of email that I rarely respond to. And those are when people say, "Hey, Johnny, I'm a financial analyst," or, "Johnny, I'm a history teacher," or, "a chemical engineer," or, "a bricklayer," or, "a tile setter." They ask, "Gee, Johnny, if I come down to Latin America with my skills and my education, I guess it should be pretty easy for me to get a job in my field, considering there are a lot of American companies down there and schools that need services, and they're looking for gringos, like you said. I mean, that gringo advantage must work for accountants and bricklayers too, right? And our skills are, well, first world, not third world Latin American, you know? Well, guess what, bud? You'll get a job in about 2 seconds, but you're going to get paid 300 damn bucks a month like everybody else does down here. Down here, if you have a specific first world career, the only way you're going to make first world money is if you've been shipped down by a first world company to do a contract down here in Latin America. But if you're a mechanic up in Cleveland, let's say, and you come down here looking for a job on your own, and you're looking to get hired by a company down here, even a first world franchise company. In other words, you want to work for the man down here like you worked for the man up north. You're a company man and you're used to working for somebody else. Well, the only way you're going to make really decent money down here, and it's not even talking first world money. I mean, 30 grand a year and you're living like a king, believe me. So how can you make that 30 grand a year or 40 or even 50? Now, this is important. My point is, the only way gringos and expats really make good money down here is to not work for the man, but have your own business. Sell your own products or services. Don't think you're going to come down here and work as a CPA and live the life of Riley. You'll get a job all right, provided you speak enough Spanish, but you're fooling yourself if you think you're going to make first world dough. But if you come down here for a month or two and scope things out, off the tourist trail, or even come down to one of my seminars and stay a few days, I guarantee, after a while, your mind will be spinning with ideas. And if you're just coming down here to scout out a place to retire, well, your mind will be spinning with ideas too. That's just the way it is. Down here in Latin America, off the tourist trail again, it's like a puzzle with a lot of missing pieces. There are a lot of holes to fill, and you spot those holes and the locals don't. Gaps in that puzzle are everywhere, and the longer you're down here, the more you'll spot them. In fact, it's usually like this. Once you're down here a year or so, you've got so many ideas spinning around in your head, your brain almost gets vapor locked. I mean, it's like going to a restaurant with just too many choices on the menu. Now, I know some of you who've not been down here yet will think I'm blowing air out of my butthole, or you think I'm exaggerating for effect, but I'm telling you, it's really true. That said, now, let me tell you a little story that I've never told before because I didn't want people to think I was blowing smoke. Here's a story that sounds really fantastic from the get-go, and I haven't mentioned it once in 2.5 years, so here goes. And the only reason why I'm mentioning it now is because I've got about 20 first world witnesses, all the people that came on my Expat Wisdom business tour a few days ago. So if you think I'm blowing smoke, these guys will back me up. Now, you might know, after my 3-day seminar, I offer a post-tour, a combined business, healthcare, and technology tour, where I take my seminar group right in the thick of things. We visit hospitals and businesses and factories, and we scout out some real estate. Then we hit a bit of the technology sector. I try to give everybody a good overview of what's going on down here. And I always take the group to visit some of my own personal gringo friends who've become big successes in one area or another. This time, I took the post-tour group, about 20 to 25 people, to visit a gringo expat friend of mine, a business owner, in fact, a multiple business owner, who came down here about 32 years ago when he was a backpacking hippie in the mid to late 70s. An orphan, no less, and him and his two brothers ended up down here living permanently and marrying Latin American girls. So, what's so special about this story? Well, let me start out by saying he owns a hardwood forest with over 100,000 rainforest hardwoods. Like, for example, teak and caoba and rainforest mahogany and a number of other rare and very expensive rainforest hardwoods. And most of his trees are 15 years old, which means soon they'll be ready to harvest. And what are they worth? Each trunk is worth at least $5,000. So do the numbers. I don't have a calculator, but it sounds like $50 million to me. Nice business. Man, that would be cool. But he also owns, along with his two brothers, a textile mill with about 200 employees. They make carpets. Well, very cool, you might say. But guess who they make carpets for? They've made custom carpets for guys like Steven Spielberg, the Queen of England. His carpets are in Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle. He did the Obama White House. And by the way, that was your tax dollar at work, not mine. And the Kremlin. Yes, that's right, the Kremlin. So the next time you go see Lenin's tomb, or trot on the floor that Trotsky trotted on, think of expat gringos in Guatemala. The three orphan brothers from New York who created a high-end international business from nothing. And why did they come to Guatemala? My friend says it's because they love the people, they love the scenery, and they love the weather. That altiplano I'm always talking about. But that's not all. This gentleman, this friend of mine, is also an internationally known artist. And his brother is even more famous as an internationally known professional photographer. But what do I know about art? Except to say that they exhibit and sell their stuff all over the world. And people who order my friend's custom carpets often commission him to do paintings to match the style, color, and texture of the carpets. So, okay, you're thinking, like me, that here's a real Renaissance man. Nicest guy in the world. But here's a point I have to drive home. Here's one of the wealthiest, most well-known people in Latin America, married with four young kids, has no bodyguards, drives a 10-year-old car, and dresses down like long-term expats are supposed to do. He's a very low-key guy with his country gentleman estate, unpretentious and tucked away right next to his textile factory. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, he has a coffee plantation too. And he invited us all to a little coffee and tea party at his house and gave us all a pound of his coffee from his own estate. Where does he sell this coffee? Well, it turns out he doesn't sell his coffee at all. What he does is he has it processed and packaged, and he gives it away as gifts to his carpet clients. What do you think? Not bad for a hippie backpacker without a plan at all, wouldn't you say? And by the way, he says, hey, Johnny, why don't you come over next week for brunch? And then he said, I'll invite Arzu. Well, you know who Arzu is? He was president of Guatemala in the 90s, one of the lucky former presidents that hasn't been indicted for anything yet. I said, yet. Oh, and another thing, the brothers set up a foundation for local impoverished women. And really, we should all help the poor locals when we can, even if it's just with some clothes or some food or your old computer.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture. He knows.